Here's what I want to ask you to do with questions and answers. Now, I know when Robert said, you know, you've been waiting to ask some of your questions. I'm going to actually ask you, not that I'm threatened by him at all, but I'm going to ask you to not just go off the wall and ask me your deep theological questions. I'd love if you'd ask me questions based on where we've been last night and today to help you walk out what you're hearing. Yes. Like this mama said, three kids in the home, how do I? She cried and said, I haven't been walking in love. She was just confession. She was just, and it's been more controlling, frustration. How, give me a good picture of what it looks like walking in love with my kids when they need some correction, discipline, and stuff like that. Those are good, valuable questions, those kind of things. You see what I'm saying? And you might say, well, just go ahead and answer that one for me. When you have children, when there's obstinance in the home, when your child doesn't want the gospel, parents don't realize they tend to get overbearing. They preach at their kids more than they realize. They think it's a good thing. They quote, they do little stinger comments and throw scripture in there. Parents have been notorious for that because we tend to panic. We don't realize we're finding our identity through our children. We actually believe our children are a direct reflection of us and our failure or success as parents. We forget that they have a will. We forget that you could actually sow good things into your children and they could go through a season of willfulness just because it's their own go-through struggles and decisions. And then we internalize it, take it personal and think if I'd have done better, they wouldn't be this way. And then parents take a hit with the child and everybody loses their productivity. That's how you know we're not thinking clear. Because even if you did mess that thing up, where do you rely on his mercy? Where is he greater? And where do you continue to find a perspective that allows you to shine while they're walking through their moment? That's what you got to think about. As a pastor, I've watched, and I know you've seen this as pastor, I've watched way too many parents lose their own identity when their children struggled. And it became their whole world because they said they love them. Well, that's a cop-out phrase. It's deeper than that. You're finding your identity through them. You're feeling like a failed parent. And if they do better, it just clears the air and you can go free and you don't have to think about all this stuff. So what you got to do is at some point, I shared with her. I'll just be honest. I shared with her. She was being honest. She was sharing a weakness. I said, you be honest. You communicate with your children with tears. Share where you've been, how you've touched them. And now that you're growing, now that you're seeing some things, man, there's many times I corrected you just because you were wrong. And I was frustrated. I've touched you wrong in many times. Not that even what I was correcting was wrong, but the way I came about it. And I see that it's affected your hearts. And sometimes you don't even want to hear what I have to say. And I'm just sorry that I failed to love you like I could. It's actually so healthy sometimes for a parent to sit down and set that thing straight and say, man, I've touched you outside of love one too many times. I've allowed you to irritate me. I've allowed you to frustrate me and I've expressed that. You say, Billy, if I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, just get to your room, Billy. Just, but mom, but dad, just get to your room, boy. We'll talk later. Go, just go, man. And you're teaching him that he can disgust you. You're teaching him that he's a frustration to you. You're teaching him that you're on and off. And if that little boy somewhere gets the idea that that's a reflection of God through life and along the way, now you're just sending a picture to his little belief system that God sees him the same way. Are you with me? Yeah. Here's a simple encouragement on parenting that I just learned in the Holy Ghost myself, that the why behind your life is huge. You don't correct people because they're wrong. You correct people because they're more than what they're doing. And I know it sounds simple, but it's powerful. Because when you look and realize, what did Jesus say on the cross? Did he say, these bunch of idiots, I can't believe it. Can you believe what they're doing to me? What did he say? Father, why did he tell them to forgive? We ask Father, forgive because they know not what they. So be fair with your children. Have your children seen a living model? Are your children born into Adam? Were they trained by the same lies we were trained? Have they even seen a living model? Be the model. Yeah. Don't be the preacher. Be the model. Countless parents are guilty of preaching to their kids without living Christ. And just telling their kids what they should do. My dad, alcoholic dad at the time, not alcoholic anymore. My dad used to say, don't, because I'd confront him as I got older. I'd get stand up to him and I'd get smart mouth a little bit. Because he's drunk, I figured I'd dodge his punch anyway. Mom used to whack me with that wooden spoon, and as I got older, I'd grab it from her when she'd swing it, and I just thought that was cool because I was getting older. I'd just snatch the spoon from her. She'd go to smack me with it, and I'd snatch it. It's just messed up. But I got a little older for Dad. I had to get older because I was scared. He'd rip my pants down and whoop me bad. But I'd challenge him on his life, and I'd say, who are you to tell me? Why would you tell me? He said, well, don't you do as I do. You do as I say. I'm your dad. It's the most terrible thing you can do. Don't do as I do, do as I say. Well, it teaches you to resent. It makes you not have value for anything in that person's life. Here's the beautiful thing about Jesus. Is there one thing he's asking of you in his word that he didn't come and model in his life? Whew. Is there one thing he's calling you to that he didn't pass through in the flesh?
What an amazing God. He came and said, let me show you what it looks like. So the word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld him. So he didn't come and preach at you. Shape up, straighten out. Why do you?
He showed us what love looked like. He showed us what life in the Father looks like. He kept affirming what it was. Me and the Father are one. He's always with me. I always do what he has. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. Me and the Father. Then he says, I pray, Father, that they're one like you and me are one. When they become one like you and me are one, then the world will know. We say when everybody in the bush hears the gospel on a radio broadcast. But he said, when we become one like him and Father are one, that's when the world will get it. And go, oh my goodness, you did send your son. What's he talking about? Becoming love. So I think many of us take our kids personal. Your neighbor's children can be doing something and you don't really think about it. And as soon as your child does it, you can't believe they did it. And you're like, why'd you do that? Who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah. Because we're taking our children personal and failing to love them. So start praying and asking God to give eyes of love so you can start making that transition. If you need to talk to your children, please talk to them. Have a humble conversation. Tell them you have convictions in your life that you feel like you've touched them in the flesh many times. And it's just more of authority and you'll do what I say and I'm the boss kind of thing. I want to stay a million miles away from that. You don't want your children to fear you. You want them to respect you. You don't want them to listen because they're afraid. You want them to listen because they honor. That's totally different. The fear of the Lord isn't, you revere the person that he is, who he is, the personhood of God. You revere him. It's the fear of the Lord. It's an amazing thing. Yeah? So your motive being pure, the pure in heart will see God. You take Billy in his room and you sit down and you're gentle with him. And sometimes a little stern. My children always knew if I was stern, it's because whatever they were doing was serious matter and it would get their attention. But it's not that I'm mad. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not mad. And I say, listen, you know why I'm stern right now? Because this is serious. Yeah. Honey, it's real serious. And this is why. And then I would try to teach them what they're called to and created for, what family looks like, their part. I would teach them that this is a grooming ground. This is a time to get groomed in a heart motive. It'll teach you for the rest of your life. And then if there's discipline involved. Now, Billy, you know, we've talked about this. How many times? Yeah, I know. No, look at me. It's not that I'm disappointed. You need to learn that your life is so much more than this and you don't need to give yourself to this. And it's going to create repercussions. And down the road, it's going to cause pain in your life if you continue to function this way. This isn't because I'm mad and disappointed. It's because you're more than this. And I have to teach you that. And I have to teach you. So for now, tonight, we're not going to turn on, oh, I thought you were going to. It's okay. Stop. We're not going to turn this on tonight. You're not going to sit like you do. You're going to stop that right now. And here's what we're going to do. And then instead of just cold turkey in their desire and causing them to ground them or fast their desire, give them a little assignment. You know, spend a little time with them. Ask if they want to talk a little more about it. Do something productive with them. Grab a little family social stuff. What? Play a board game. Well, they're supposed to be in discipline. No. Look, you know they won on that iPad.
Yes.
But just shut it down for tonight. And go ahead and just be a family. It's not that you got to make them sit in the room and close the door. Now, before I was saved, I used to yell at my kids and I'd get them to their room. I'd say, sit on that bed and think about it. Think about it. And I'd shut the door.
Great parenting, Dan. Way to go, buddy. You're showing them who's boss. Then you get around them there. And they're still doing something they shouldn't do. And as soon as you walk in the room.
And then you're just teaching them to live in deceit and dishonor and da-da-da. It's not. We're just going to change all that. Yeah? So it's just simple stuff. Some of it's progressed. Some of your kids are older now. I believe taking responsibility, showing them what the beauty of repentance looks like. I said to this dear lady, I said, man, if your children are that age and you're crying like you're crying, ask them to help you. Tell them mommy wants help because you want change and you don't want to be a frustrated lady. You don't want to go down in their minds and memory as touchy. And you say, kids, help me. Help love me through this. Because I want to love you like Jesus does. And I want to be an example to you and everybody in my life. Would you be patient with me? Would you help me? It's not wrong to ask your kids that kind of stuff. It's not wrong to talk to your spouse that way. To say, listen, honey, I've been a little touchy. I've been carrying some things. I feel like I got this on my plate and I'm getting rid of that. That's an excuse. I got all this on my plate. Are you kidding? God's got the whole world in front of him and he's amazing. So I'm going to draw from his wisdom. But listen, forgive me. I feel like I've been a little testy. I feel like I've been a little short with you. I feel like I've been quiet. You just talk to your spouse. She's weeping a little because she's been thinking what's wrong. He's different. He hasn't been. And she's even in a little vulnerable place. I'd love if none of you would ever be there. I'd love if you'd just think, boy, you know, my husband's gone. And you'd already make the initiative. Baby, what's going on? I know you. You got something on your mind and I love you. Listen, oh, I'm sorry. No, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm well and good. I want to know how you're doing. Wouldn't it be amazing if spouses would do that and stop expecting from each other and letting each other decide how they're doing in the moment? And actually, Jesus would be the deciding factor of how you're doing in the moment. Wouldn't that just be amazing?
Instead of these little psychological things. But
say she just weeps a little because she's even relieved or whatever. And you just explain your heart. But then you say to her, honey, listen. And you look at right now, I say, it is never my heart to dishonor you or talk to you that way. When I realize I've done that, I feel like, oh my goodness, because it's so not in my heart. Now you got tears in your eyes and you say, God knows how I've been praying. And what I'm asking you, can you help me with this? Because I don't want a stitch of self stuff in me. I know I value you. And there's times I get clouded because I start thinking this, carrying some cares. Would you help pull me out of that? If you see me in any direction and give them permission, if you see me in any direction. Now, when they call you on it, don't be like, well, just leave me alone. I need time. If you give, you got it. But that would be humility, wouldn't it? You say, talk to me, honey. If you see me getting testy, if you see me just quieting up on you, man, just grab my arm and say, hey, baby, you okay? You doing well? You ain't carrying nothing, right? You doing good? Is there anything I can pray with you about, talk to you about? Be each other's friend. Stop playing the psychological thing. Communicate and get it out there, right? And wouldn't that be awesome? You give your spouse permission and your spouse actually touches you a week from then and says, hey, just checking in on you. Remember how we talked and you said, yeah. And all of a sudden you already know because you realize as soon as she says it, you go, duh. You say, wow, thanks. Man, can we just pray right now? Come here. I love you so much, girl. Boy, that sure beats that. I love you. You love me in that old messy Hollywood thing, right? This thing actually has substance to it. So then if you, it ain't so bad, right? I'm sorry. So, I just kind of vaguely answered that a little bit. There's so many different scenarios. The key is that your heart's motivated in love. And if you're going to correct or discipline your children, you got to make sure your motive's love and it's for their sake. If it's just because you're frustrated, don't expect heaven to go with you and grace to empower your words. Look, I'm a pastor and you might say, well, you know, over the heart of the whole, and, you know, I gotta for the sake of the whole, and then you get a little stronger straight. No, you always do what you do for the personal value of people to be restored and preserved and bring them to that highest place. There's times you have to step in to protect others. I get that. But don't do it at the cost of one. He leaves the 99 to go get the one. So don't throw away the one for the 99. You get what I'm saying? So do you even have the authority in the Lord to correct somebody just because they're wrong or because you love? If you're doing it just because they're wrong, you'd be amazed how you don't have that. Heaven's not going to go with you like it will if you love. Are you with me? Okay. I had some lady say to me once, she said, I've been in three different states where you happen to be, and I wasn't even trying to go to where you were. I just happened to be in the area and saw you were there three different times. I've heard you in three different states. She said, it fascinates me. She said, you talk straight. And she said, and you say some really challenging stuff. And she said, and you talk about some controversial, sensitive stuff, and you talk plain. And she said, I look around the room, and it's not like anybody's offended. She said, nobody's hurt. It's like, she said, it's like you get away with saying anything you need. And I smiled. I said, do you know why? I have no need to correct nobody. I'm not trying to point out fault. I don't feel self-righteous. I'm not saying you need to straighten this up. I'm saying it for their sake, because there's so much more. He paid blood. I actually feel like I know who people are now, whether I met them or not, because of the gospel. So I talk plain because my heart and my motive, I believe, is pure. So I have confidence in my speech. And I feel like heaven goes with it. And grace is imparting grace to the hearer. And it goes into the heart, and you get convicted instead of mad. Challenged instead of frustrated. Yeah? Yeah.